High FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining me right now is Dr. Jackie Siliers, who's African analyst and founder of the Institute for Security Studies, finding out what does mob justice say about our police force and our attitudes towards foreign nationals. Good morning, Dr. Siliers. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I am very well. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for the time. So this is in relation to what is happening in, or what has happened in Diepsloot. Help me understand mob justice.
So mob justice is very, it's a kind of a crowd phenomena where an incident in a situation where there is a high level of tension and unhappiness and availability of people then triggers a collection of people who very often react very emotionally and violently to a particular situation. This is exactly what happened in Diepsloot, where we find the scapegoating of foreigners, and because of a lack of policing and high levels of unemployment, which means that a lot of people are available to participate in this kind of thing, and lack of communication and so on, then sort of rumors become fact, and you find that a mob develops and it gains a kind of a life of its own and a logic of its own, which when we step back, we sort of say, how could this happen? But it's why it's called mob, because it is a group of people that start acting violently often without really perhaps the rationality that one would, if you step back, would expect from them.
Or even necessarily provocation. So,
yeah.
You know, when I think of mob violence, I think of a crowd carrying pitchforks and torches. Why don't the police intervene? Why don't they go with water cannons? Because that would break it up and it would deal with it straight away.
So the minister has now indicated that additional resources are going to be deployed to Diepsloot, vehicles, police, men and women, and resources, including public order policing. But of course, this is putting a Band-Aid over a gaping wound that has been developed. And that gaping wound is the decline in respect of South Africans for the rule of law, decline in confidence of the police, rising crime on the one side, and then, of course, on the other side, we have increasing unemployment, unhappiness, and evidence of corruption in South Africa. So these two things, lack of sort of the ability to respond to this and consequence management, and the drivers of structural instability come together. Very difficult to control once it erupts, because all you can try and do is kind of contain it until the emotions subside, and then you can go back and try and mediate and engage. So it's a difficult situation.
And of course, there's not a very good history in South Africa about how mobs have been dealt with. We need to find a better, more effective way so that communities aren't left worse off before protests than after.
Yes, I mean, the problem that you have in South Africa is a steady decline in the rule of law, as I've said, but also in service delivery and evidence of, let's call it good governance for the lack of a better term. So this leads to fueling of resentment. And then incidents occur in which very easily the scapegoating then happens. And it's a global phenomenon in the study of crowd and mass violence, how this then triggers. And it happens at soccer stadiums, rugby stadiums, cricket, all of these kind of things.
Sure.
And then it becomes uncontrollable. And for the police then to intervene is very difficult, because all they can do is rush around and sort of extinguish fires. But you have to try and find a way of engaging the community, the leaders, reducing the tension, and then trying to deal to a degree, to the extent that it is possible, with some of the legitimate grievances. But in this case, what we find is that xenophobia is really spiraling out of control. And it's very often poor South Africans that feel threatened by the networks and the entrepreneurialism very often of foreigners who operate quite differently in the informal economy.
How much of it is actual just basic criminality that is just going under the cloak of xenophobia?
There is a significant amount of criminality involved in this. And this, again, is characteristic. So it initially initializes, but very often it is the spark, maybe a criminal act, but certainly once the violence erupts, it provides a cloak, and it is fueled by criminal elements, not necessarily big sort of syndicates or anything, but local guys, local men and women, mostly men. Most crime in South Africa is a male thing. And they use that opportunity to steal, to loot, and to create a cover for themselves. This is also what happened in July of last year, when after the initial sparks and organizing, it spun out of control with the Zuma riots in July, and criminals seized and opportunists seized on that opportunity to loot and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Jackie Siliers, thank you so much for your time. We wish you a wonderful weekend, and thank you for the work you do and for bringing us clarity. Really appreciate it. That's Dr. Jackie Siliers, African analyst and founder of the Institute for Security Studies.